Acts chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here, and then we'll just go ahead and just get into the message here. Acts chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 1. Everybody there? We're ready to go? The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to, again, Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church, Father. I ask that you please just be with us this morning, Father. You know, you truly know the needs and hearts and everything you want to accomplish here today, Father. I pray that you'd use your word today mightily and all of our hearts, Father. Would you please just work your work, Father, please. Just help us, Father. I pray that you'd use your word. Father, please use your servants this morning, Father, please. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We all know that the book of Acts and is the history book of the first New Testament church, and we know these things. And sometimes, you know, getting up and preaching, you're like, well, how can I preach anything different or show anything new that, you know, that these other preachers can't show or anything like that? But you know what? That's not my job to do that. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart, and here it is. You know, if we read these verses here and we take everything in context, we understand that this is the last time the Lord was going to be with his church. He was getting ready to leave, you know, and there was many things that, you know, I just remember leaving for the mission field and how there were so many things I wanted to say and do before we left, before we knew that we were going to be gone for 4 years. And it's almost like, you know, for in my experience, can't ever get everything done that I wanted to get done. But here we know this is the Lord. He did get everything done he needed to get done, or he wouldn't have left. And so we see here in verse number eight, he says this. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He leaves them with this. He leaves them with this. You know, when he starts out this here in verse number 8, he starts out with a but. You know, and that always means, hey, look back. What's going on here? The question is, they ask him a question in verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In verse number 7, he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. You know, he tells them this. He says, but. They ask him a question. They ask him a question specifically. Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know, but. You know, here, you know, there's things that And we all need to come to a conocimiento, or we need to come to a knowledge of a fact that, hey, there's things that God has not given us knowledge of. There are things that God in His providence doesn't let us know, and He doesn't have to. You know, there's things that we don't need to know. You know, the Jews at this time, this group, they were like, you know, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were always worried about this physical kingdom. It was like it was almost their default. They would always go back to that. Is it this time? And they were wanting to know about this physical kingdom. But God in His providence, you know, He's established a time for all that. And He says they don't need to know. He was telling them, you don't need to know about this. Specifically, He says, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in His own power. You know, if we were talking, you know, in our vernacular here in we're not in Southeast Missouri right now. We're in, you know, East Central Missouri. And so if we were to talk that, we'd say, that's none of your business at this time. God has not placed this into your knowledge, into your power. You know, well, why? It doesn't make any difference why. I mean, seriously, if we think about it, it's not in our power. Why? Because it's not placed in our power by God. Because, you know, He doesn't want us to know. Because it's not going to make a difference in what we need to do. And so, you know, God chose not to give them this power because it wasn't His will. And we need to get that through our thinking and through our, you know, our thick heads. And we need to understand that sometimes God does not let us know things. There's things that God does not want us to know. But we need to focus on what we do know, what God wants us to do. You know, we can apply this to our lives as, you know, in the ministry. I've been in the ministry a very short time, you know, in preparing for the ministry and everything. You know, me and my family, we've met many people concerned about many different things. You know, I remember one of the ladies that we led to the Lord. She was from Ecuador in Chile. They had moved there. They were immigrants. And so she was always worried about end times events. And that her focus, her default was always to go back to that. Well, what about this? What about that? You know, and I finally told her, I said, listen, I said, here's what I know. I said, I'm going to, you know, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to get raptured out of here. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And I'm not going to have to live through that. So in all reality, it doesn't really make me a whole lot of difference what's going to happen, because I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. And we need to focus on what He wants us to do now. There's nothing wrong with knowing all that stuff. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with studying all that and everything. But we need to be balanced and not have that be part of our central part of our attention. To where, hey, it's only this. You know, sometimes we'd say, well, he's a single point preacher, or he's always just concerned about this, or he always defaults to that. What is that in our lives? Every single one of us. You know, we see that the problem is not the subject, not the thing, but it's where my focus is. That's the problem. What's my central part of my thinking? You know, many people are worried about many different things. And do you know what I found out in my short time in the ministry? Is that if the devil can get me sidetracked or get me focused on anything other than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's going to do it. And when he finds out something that's going to bug me or bother me or take my focus away, take my attention away from the Lord, he's going to keep pressing that button. Many people are worried about different problems they have in their life. You know, over the last few months, what's everybody been worried about? I won't even say it, because you all know. But has our focus been, hey, if folks are dying from this, where are they going? How are we going to get the gospel to them? You know, at this time, you know, many people have been opened up to thinking about spiritual things. Thinking about, hey, you know, hey, they're... My time here is not guaranteed. It's not the problem that it's this one thing that's so bad. It's how balanced I am and where's my focus. You know, God says here, He was showing them, you know, think about the context here. Christ was crucified. He spent three and a half years with his disciples, teaching them, establishing that first New Testament church. And it was established during his ministry. We know that. He spent all that time. He was crucified. You know, they saw that. The disciples. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day. They have all that. This is the backdrop for the context of what is going on here. And it says that he had spent the last 40 days with them, seeing them. And it says, and what did he teach them? About the kingdom of God. That's what he was teaching them about. You know, he was showing them these things. He was teaching them these things about the kingdom of God. And, you know, and what during his ministry, what did he say? The kingdom of God is within you. He told them these things. What he had shown them. He had showed them that he was the Christ. There's no other. There's only one name under heaven when men must call upon to be saved. And it's the Lord Christ Jesus. We know that. We know that. He showed them these things. He showed them that he was their Savior. He showed them that, you know, that he was God. God. He was God. He had showed them these things. Thomas said, "My Lord, my God," after his doubt. You know, and here he had given them the Great Commission, and he was going over it with them one more time after these 40 days. You know, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He'd given them that. He'd given them the command to preach, teach, and baptize. You know, and their first question, when they had an opportunity, what'd they ask? Well, they said, "Well, can you teach us a little bit more about the kingdom of God, Lord? Can you tell us a little bit more about what we're supposed to be doing?" What'd they default to? "Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Totally off subject. Totally out of context. Why? Because that's what their focus was. It was almost, like I said, it was the default. He's getting ready to leave after all this context, after everything going on. They said, "Will thou at this time?" Totally out of context. And then he says these things to them. That was their first thought. That was what was in their mind. That was what they were, the action that they wanted him to take. It wasn't, "Lord, can you teach us more about what we're supposed to teach just before you leave? Please, Lord. Hey, can we go over this just one more time? Can go over, you know, how are we supposed to do these things? Where, Lord? Again? One more time?" No, they were worried about what their focus was. And he had to get their attention again one last time. You know, here, you know, we could sit there, and I could sit there and say, "Well, they should have did this and this and this." Then I have to look at myself and be like, "How many times has the Lord gotten a hold of me, grabbed me like this, and said, 'Hey, son, listen here, you need to be doing this. You need to refocus. You need to get on this.'" And we can tell the same things. Hey, listen, if we want to apply just this part to our life, is we can tell it by the same thing. How worried am I? How much of my time is preoccupied with getting the gospel out? About the Great Commission. About what he wants. You know, hey, the devil wants us to focus on our family, our job, our health, our finances, our home. Hey, preachers, on just our ministry. But it needs to be focused on his ministry, the ministry, and what he wants. Or a specific problem or area in one of these subjects. But the thing is, Christ wanted something different for them, and so he was trying to get their attention back. You know, what God wants us to focus on is what we need to be focused on. And he goes to tell them this here. And he tells them, "But no, you guys have got it wrong. Listen, here's what's going to happen." He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You know, this isn't a thing that we can doubt about. I believe that first New Testament church had some power, did it not? I mean, it's an awesome thing to see and read the book of Acts and read about, you know, all the epistles and everything and see how the Lord worked through this New Testament church, the first New Testament church, how it spread throughout all the known world. It's just, for a missionary term, that's an awesome thing. That's something that's really neat, you know, if you want to use missionary terms. But the thing here is, he says, you shall. And, you know, I'm not gonna belabor and go into to a whole lot about shall, but hey, this word shall was pretty important on the day of my salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's something definite, and it has the full force of the person that's uttering that statement. You know, he says, ye shall receive power. You know, if I was to go to, we saw somebody begging on a corner here yesterday when we were coming back home. And if I was to go to this person and say, hey, will you do this? He says, I shall do that. It may not have a whole lot of force, but this is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, ye shall. It's a promise. It's a command. It's going to happen. You know, it was important on the day of my salvation, was it not? Hey, that's what we tell folks when we lead them to the Lord. Now, what's the Bible say here? What are you right now? It says shall, sedah, salvo, you know, shall be saved. And it means that, hey, that happened. It will happen. He is doing that. He has done that. You know, that was important. It's an important word. It doesn't mean maybe or perhaps. He says, ye shall, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. It's two commands. It's two promises. It has the force, the full force of God and the Godhead. You know, the one that created all the heavens and the earth? The one that spoke them into existence, formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him and made him a living soul, that God. He says that I will have power, and he says that I will be a witness. Shall. It's a promise. It has the full force of him saying it. And sometimes we forget that. We forget the fact that, hey, we're not much, but the one that has promised to give me power, he is. He can do all things. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's through Christ. It's through his power. It's what he can do. You know, in this same power, you know, we understand that it's still available today. It's, well, that was in times past, Brother Pittman. You know, hey, I think that we need the same thing today, because anything that we do needs to be done in his power if we want it to last. If we don't want to just burn out and fade away, hey, we need to do it in his power. And many times we're doing a lot of the things that we're doing in our own power. You know, Brother McDowell said something the other night. He said that they gave beyond their power. Brother Sargent preached about that. That's an amazing thing. We need to give, and we need to witness, we need to minister, we need to do these things in the power of God, and he can work through us. He says, ye shall receive power, ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You know this word witness here, it means to testify, to give testimony to a fact or event. Witnesses. You know, some folks say, well, you know, that meant that there were to be martyrs or something else. But why does our English Bible say witnesses? Because it's supposed to say witnesses, is exactly why. I'm not going to argue with somebody that wants to say, well, in the Greek, or I could care less. I don't speak Greek. You want to talk to me in Spanish or talk to me in English? Hey, we'll study that out. But here's the thing, it says witnesses to give a testimony to the things, to the testimony of what? What he had told them to teach and preach, what he had commanded them, what he had done in their lives. You know, every one of us has a testimony of salvation. If you don't, you can have one today. Praise the Lord. You can get that today. But hey, what am I supposed to give testimony of? What am I supposed to witness of? His power, what he has done in my life. You know, I can give testimony. Let's just go over just a few things. What can I give testimony for? That Jesus saves. He saved my soul. I know who I was and what I am, but he saved me. He made me a new creature in Christ. I can give testimony to the fact that he will never leave me or forsake me. Though sometimes things get dark and things get out of control, but they're not out of God's control. And if the devil can get me to focus on something, just one problem or something like that, he wants to do that. But the one that gave me power, the one that is doing these things, he wants me to focus on him. I can give testimony to the fact that he's good. Man, is he good. He's been good to me in every area of my life. And sometimes I get out of his will, or sometimes I get to where he has to grab me by the collar and get me back into his will. But you want to know something? That's good too. Afterwards, he is good. I can testify to the fact, I can give witness to the fact that what God has done and what he is doing and what he has promised to do, he's promised that we're going to see his word not return void unto him. That's a promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, the promise is, hey, if we sow, we're going to be able to reap. God can do that. We can give testimony and give witness to that fact. So I think it's pretty clear what we're supposed to be. Hey, we can answer the question. You know, one of the questions that they could have asked is, well, where? He says both. Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. You know, both denotes two members of a sentence, does it not? You know, I believe both in Jerusalem and Judea, that's right here. And into Samaria and to the uttermost. You know, we look at this, you know, where does it start, Brother Pittman? Here's where I think it starts. They were here. Right after, you know, the 40 days and everything, Judas had betrayed them. There was one amongst them that had a bad testimony, and it was made obvious. You know, I believe that where does this start? Where does my witness start? Where does this start? It starts here in my congregation. I believe this is my Jerusalem and the town that I'm living in. How's my testimony with my fellow members in the church? You know, I need to be faithful to church. I mean, need to be faithful to giving my testimony and witnessing to the fact that God is good to the other members of my church. You know, carrying their burdens. Have a testimony that, hey, that brother will help. Or that sister, I pray for you or help. You know, kind of like Mary when she broke the alabaster box. That Christ said that that'll be preached about her throughout the whole world. What that woman did. You know, last year I got to preach that in Chile. I was like, oh Lord, you're going to give me opportunity to preach this. The witness that she had, the testimony that she had. And we got to preach that. But you want to know something? What the Lord laid on my heart when I was preaching that series of messages on that down in Chile was, how many times do we talk about different brothers and sisters in Christ, of their testimony and what they've done for Christ in my life? You know, I got to tell those folks about Miss Anna in our church and Miss Alice in our sending church and Brother Auger in our sending church and, you know, and Brother Hubbard and these men and these women that have blessed my family through the power that God has given them and the influence that God gave them. It starts here. We can't neglect that. It starts with what God's going to do with me here at home and be a witness afuera, outside, to the community, to my county, to my state. And then he says, both. Now, don't forget the other. You know, some Bibles don't have that word both in it. You all understand what I'm trying to say. It's a la vez in Spanish. A lot of Spanish Bibles don't have it either. It's both. It's important that we do both. And not all of us can go, but we can all give. We can all give. You know, it says in Samaria to the uttermost. You know, I should get part. I should allow God to get me focused on not only being a witness here, but in the program that my church has established for missions in the regions beyond, in Samaria and the uttermost. You know, we've seen, praise the Lord, we've got to see God work through not only raising our support and going to Chile, but seeing him work in Chile and doing all the different things that he has done. And we've got to see souls saved. We got to see people baptized. We've got to see the start of a New Testament Independent Fundamental Baptist Church in Temuco, Chile. We've got to see God do these things. Why? Because the giving of churches just like this one, the giving of folks like Miss Alice in our church, Miss Anna, Brother Hubbard, Brother Auger, and not only giving but faithfully praying for us. It's such an awesome thing. You know, I don't know how many times my family has been lifted up before the throne of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by members of churches throughout all America. But that's just an awesome thing. We have the power to do that. Do you understand you all have the power to give? You all have that. And it says, to the uttermost. You understand that we need to be focused on doing this. I'd just give you a little quick thing here. You have two missionaries here. One's from the land down under. I believe that that's the uttermost. I mean, come on. But also, just give you a little bit of, and you all can look this up on the internet if you want. I'm not making this up. But the name Chili, you ever wonder how it got that name? Well, because it's shaped like a chili pepper, Brother Pittman. No, I don't believe that's it. Because the peppers down there are called a he. They're shaped like that, a he. But there's one theory that the name comes from. I told you all that there's a group of indigenous folks down there, and they speak, they're Mapuche, and they speak Mapudungun. And one of the theories is that name Chile means the ends of the earth, where the earth ends. That's pretty neat. I love that. You know, hey, I'm a missionary to the ends of the earth, to where the earth ends, you know. That or it means seagulls. I'm not sure. But I like the ends of the earth. But where are the seagulls? At the end of land. So that's just a cool thing that we can see. So do you understand that he's trying to get back their attention here? And show them what they're supposed to be doing. Trying to get them refocused on what they're supposed to be doing. What's God doing in your life? I mean, seriously. Is he trying to get you refocused? Is he trying to get you honed in on, hey, exactly what he wants? I hope so. I hope you've been praying. And we go to the last part here. You know, the Bible says here, I'll go ahead and read it again. In verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, the interesting thing here that I found when studying this is it said, "And while they beheld." You know, that word beheld is the past tense of behold. But behold, it means to fix your eyes upon, to see with attention. To see with attention, to observe with care. You know, in John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Hey, look at him! That's the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That behold, they beheld in past tense. That, you know, he had their attention is what I'm trying to say. Well, Brother Pittman, is because of the miraculous way that he was being taken away from them. This says this before. It says, while they beheld. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, to fix their eyes upon, he had their attention. It wasn't just the glorious way that he was taken up, but he had gotten a hold of them with his word. What were they focused on to begin with? the kingdom. Not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. And now it says, while they beheld, after he had spoken to them, before he was taken up, they were beholding him, looking at him. Their attention was upon him, and then he was taken up. I think that if we want to see the miraculous, we need to allow God to get a hold of us through his word and be focused on him. And when we're so focused on him, we can see the miraculous. You know, what's one of the things that that we say about all the liberal commentators and stuff like that when we talk about crossing the Red Sea or the walls of Jericho and all these different things? They say, well, you know, this could have been a natural thing, and they never can see the glory and the miraculous. Why? Because they're not focused on his word. He didn't have their attention. But when he gets a hold of us and he has our attention, we can see the miraculous. We can see things that only he can do and give him all the honor and glory for it. We can see how through whatever tragedy or whatever's going on that he can work. We can see these things. You know, they turned, you know, these folks, he had their attention, and I believe they never got over it. Why? Because what's their testimony in Acts 17:6? They turned the world upside down. These folks have turned the world upside down. Man, we can't get rid of them. We can't get away from them. He had their attention. Does God have your attention? Would you let him have it? Would you let the word of God get a hold of your heart to where you're focused on him and he has your undivided attention, and it'll be, Lord, what do you want? He had it on the day of our salvation. He had it to where he showed us, you're a sinner, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell unless you repent and receive my son as your savior. He had our attention then. What's happened between that day and today? I hope he gets it back. I hope he does. He had it on the day of our salvation. You know, I'm going to give you a testimony of two of the folks down there. You met Daniela on the video. You met her on the day she got saved. I said, hey, give me a quick testimony. And she said, you know, I got saved. The Lord saved me. You know, I asked him to forgive me. And, you know, I'm saved because of the beautiful blood that he shed for me. He died on the cross for me. I mean, she had it. You know, and praise the Lord, they haven't gotten over that yet. Her husband had gotten saved about 6 months earlier, David. And so he'd gotten saved, and, you know, and she'd said, well, no, I'm saved. I mean, that night in that Bible study, you know, and when I asked, are you saved? When did you believe? And he was like, I've never believed. I need to be saved. And she goes, no, I'm good, basically. And I'm like, okay. About 6 months under the preaching, she comes into my office one morning. She goes, I'm lost. Every time you preach, God showed me I'm lost. God got her attention. That was in August. In September, we had an opportunity to get a shipment of Bibles from Peru. And from where we're at in Chile to Peru, it's about a three-day drive. I mean, three hard days of driving. And so we either had to have the Bible, we had to go get the Bibles, or we had to have them shipped. And so we were praying about what to do, and all I knew is I knew that we needed some money. You know, it's like, that's a long trip. You know, if you got three days of driving, you have to have three hotels. That's not cheap in Chile. Gasoline's not cheap. You know, gasoline's $4 or $5 a gallon in Chile. You know, it's not cheap to travel. And then you have a toll road every about 60 miles that you have to pay $4 or $5 of tolls every 60 miles. So I was like, Lord, what do we do? And I was like, you know what? We're gonna have the church here do an offering. And I told the folks, I was like, we're going to take them an offering here in a week. And so we were getting ready to take up that offering, and before the services that Sunday morning, David and Daniela, they come in, and let me give you a little bit of background. He makes minimum wage. He makes about $300,000 a month, about, you know, a little less than $500 a month, 300,000 pesos, not $300,000. That'd be a pretty good swell, though. That'd be a pretty good income, wouldn't it? But he makes about $500 a month. And he comes to me. He goes, "Hey," he goes, we want to give to getting these Bibles, but we don't have the money right now. I get paid at the end of the month." He goes, "Would you allow me to pay you half at the end of the month and half next month? I want to give." And I said, "Well, yeah, sure, brother. That's okay. Whatever you want to do." And he goes, "We want to give 50,000 pesos." And I was like, inside me, I was like, "No, you're not." And I was like, I just kept asking, "Are you sure, brother? Are you sure you want to do this?" When we met them, you know how I told you about our generator that our church gave us? When we met we led him to the Lord. They were members, he was a member there for about 2-3 months, and we found out that they didn't have electricity or running water in their house. And so he goes, "I need to buy a generator, because we're going to have another several months of this. You know, I know that you can buy one at the Sodimac at Lowe's and get a deal on your credit card, and I'll give you the money." And I was like, "No." I said, "How about we do this? How about I loan you the generator that I have?" And you know, they use that generator for months. It's a little gas power, a propane power generator. They use that to have electricity in their house. And so just giving you a little background, this is them. He goes, "We want to give 50,000. I'll give you 25 here in a week, and I'll give you 25 more at the end of the next month." And I was like, "Are you sure you want to do that, brother?" Because I knew their situation. "No, that's what God wants us to do." He was very firm. I was like, you know, me, doubtful Thomas, I guess. I was like, "Are you sure that's what you want to do?" "No, it's what God wants us to do, and that's what we're going to do." Basically, he was like, he was very, very firm. "This is what we're going to do." And so I was struggling with this inside of me. And the Lord was like, basically like, "Just get over it. That's what I want him to do." You know, that poorest family that's in our church, they gave the most towards getting those Bibles to get to Chile. Because Debbie and Danielle said, it's important that we get the Word of God here so we can give it to folks. And they did that. Why? God had their attention. God had their attention. And we understand that you all met Victor also in the video. He'd gotten out of God's will for a little bit. And the morning that we took that video, he'd gotten right with the Lord. You know, he'd been backslidden. It was all because of a job that he took. You know, he was working about, he had to drive, had commute of about an hour away. And that's not a bad thing. But an hour away in Chile is not an hour away. It's more like hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, depending on traffic, depending on taco, depending on the traffic. And so we understand. I was like, "Brother," I said, "I don't know." I said, "You know, that's gonna hit her." "No, no, it's gonna be okay. I can study, you know, while I'm commuting and all." So I was like, okay. I said, "You know, you do what you need to do." But then he started getting colder. He got out of God's will, quit teaching Sunday school, and then the morning that you see that he got videoed, he come in my office. He was like, "I'm wrong. I'm getting right now." He goes, "This is over with." And he got right with the Lord. And he said, "Hey, look at what God's doing here. God had gotten his attention." You understand? And so when we read here that as they beheld, afterwards they got to see the miraculous, and we got to see the same thing. After God got a hold of a few people's attention. You know, this is the same way that it happens today. The exact same way. You know, God needs us to get focused on him. He needs us to get focused on him and maybe even relearn some of the things that we have a remembrance of the things that we have learned. And he needs to get a hold of our attention. And he can get to work. That's what he wants. That's what we can see here. You know, and we saw that they were so focused on him that I believe that, you know, they beheld him while he was speaking, and then their eyes just followed him as he went up. And their attention was so much on him that there was two angels in white apparel standing next to them, and they didn't even recognize, they didn't even know it. They're like, and these angels said, "What are you looking up into heaven for? Get to work. Get to work." That's a paraphrase, if you didn't know. They stood by them and they said, "Get going." And the promise is that this same Jesus is going to come back. Not a different one, not a new one, not one that we don't know, but the same Jesus. The one that right now sits on the right hand of the Father. He's coming back one of these days. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to go and meet him. If it happened right now, all of us here that are saved, it's going to be, we're going to be changed and go. The same Jesus, not something different, not someone different, the same one. And he's promised these things. And we're gonna go and get our eternal reward, because he's preparing a place for us. You know, in closing, sometimes in our lives we need to get refocused. We need to find out what our focus is. And the Lord has a good way of showing us that, doesn't he? Look at this. This is going on here, and what are you worried about? And we need to remember or have a remembrance of the things that we've been taught, and we need to put our full attention on him and do what he wants. You know, that's my desire for you all. That's my desire for my family, is that our attention would be on him. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to thank you so much, Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy. And I thank you, Father, for your word and the examples that we see in it that you use to mold our lives and to change us and to get us to where you want us to be, Father. Father, I pray that you please just bless each and every heart here this morning, every soul. Father, first of all, with a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. But then that they would be in your will and serving you, that you'd have their full attention, Father, please. We love you, Father. We just thank you again for the day. Thank you for this church, Father. Please just bless it. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.